Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome to Today's Issues. It's August 18th. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning.
And in an undisclosed bunker somewhere, Ray Pritchard is joining us. Ray, I'm guessing you're at home, right?
Yeah, I'm in my underground bunker on the lower level, looking up to look outside, you know. Deeply, deeply hidden this morning.
Deeply hidden. Well, we're glad you're with us, Ray. Now, you're in Kansas City. What's the weather like there? You got some pleasant weather?
You know, it has gotten cool. After a few hot days, we've got not exactly fall-like weather, Ed, but this is good bike riding weather. It's maybe low 80s or something this morning. So
I always get nervous for you when you talk about bike riding. You fully recovered, right, from your big bike accident? Or
I'm recovered I'm recovered enough that I can ride my bike and and I can walk and ride my bike and drive a car and stand up and preach
and chew gum at the same time.
That's right. That's right. I can't run, Ed, but I couldn't run before anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Well, folks, listen, we're going to introduce Chris Woodward in just a second. In a few minutes, we're going to have Dr. Frank Turek on to join us. But I want to let you know that we are gathering stories now to play during our fall Share-a-thon. That's coming up in October, and we'd like to hear from you. We do this every year before Share-a-thon, and what we ask our listeners to do, we ask this question: has the Lord used American Family Radio in your life? Perhaps we've given the right thought at just the right time, and you'd like to share that story with other listeners. So we'd like to hear your AFR story. It could be a blessing and encouragement to other people who are listening. Sometimes those stories are just the thing, just the testimony, as it were, for someone who might be going through something similar. So just tell us how Jesus Christ has used AFR in your life. If you could call for and share for a minute or two, you might hear yourself during Share-a-thon. How do you do that? Well, this is how you do it. We have a listener story line set up. The number is 877-876-8893. I'll give that number again. You call in, you'll be directed to leave your message, your testimony, and we try to get as many of those in the run-up to Share-a-thon and even during Share-a-thon. The number to call our listener story line is 877-876-8893.
And I must say, folks, Ed really likes to play the testimonies that mention his name. So,
yes, but
if you could throw that in there.
But it's so rare. So, folks, well, let's put it this way. It's so rare that it's a positive. I'm tired of we get that Ed Vitagliano guy off the air. He sounds terrible. His voice is irritating. It's grating. All he does is talk about pizza and hockey. No, we don't want those testimonies. Okay, so thank you, Fred. Appreciate that.
Welcome.
All right, Chris Woodward, our news reporter for OneNewsNow.com, one of them, is joining us from Studio Venus.
No, I'm on Mars. Men are from Mars. Women are from Venus.
Okay, all right, that's important to you. All right, men are from Mars. Women are from Venus. That's not actually in the Bible, folks, but it was a popular Christian book. All right, Chris, start us off. You got a few minutes here before Frank Turek joins us.
Right.
What's new?
Well, something you're going to be hearing a lot about today, the Democratic National Convention continues today, albeit virtually. A lot of people are going to be speaking, talking about how they think Joe Biden is awesome and they should vote for him and Kamala Harris, things like that. Kind of a meanwhile or segue story out of that involves things that last night's speaker had to say. Let's begin with former First Lady Michelle Obama. She basically slammed President Trump and said people need to vote for Biden like their lives depend on it. Clip one.
You know I hate politics, so let me be as honest and clear as I possibly can. Donald Trump is the wrong president for our country. If we have any hope of ending this chaos, we have got to vote for Joe Biden like our lives depend on it.
Now, she began that by saying, you know I hate politics, but then she seemingly got political. So she's speaking out of both sides of her mouth there, do you think?
Well, listen, I think that's just the way these kind of things go. I thought it was a very, and then we'll let Fred and Ray join in. I did not watch any of this last night. I did watch it this morning. I watched former First Lady Michelle Obama's speech, Bernie Sanders' speech, and John Kasich's speech. And I thought Michelle Obama's speech was very effective for what she was trying to go for. But like all three speeches, they're just filled with inconsistency and just downright hypocrisy. And so, Fred, I'm going to just throw it to you for your opinion. Here's what I did not like about what Michelle Obama said. She's talking about surviving this chaos, and the chaos is all being driven by the far left, which the Democratic Party is embracing.
Yes.
So in my opinion, if you really want us to get out of this chaos, okay, you cannot vote for someone who's applauding or at least staying silent while some of our biggest cities are burning.
Oh, absolutely. And it's Democrat-controlled cities where we have noted many times all these problems are. There was one moment of integrity amongst the media coverage of Michelle Obama. She resurrected the now totally disqualifying remark about referring to President Trump last night down on the border, keeping kids in cages.
Right.
Well, even the Associated Press, which has been all in for the Democrats lately, here's what Michelle Obama said. They watch in horror as children are torn from their families and thrown into cages. The fact is, the reference to cages is misleading and a matter that Democrats have persistently distorted because it was Michelle Obama's husband, Barack Obama, who created those cages that were kept in.
And Ray, they're not cages. It's chain link fences separating illegals coming to this country by age, because the parents have to be separated out as those who have broken the law, and you can't leave children in with adults who might be contain sexual predators. So this was a policy that was started under Barack Obama, and the quote-unquote cages were built under his administration.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, Ed, to say that Michelle Obama is not political is just a joke. She lives for politics, just like her husband does. And that was a completely partisan speech. I don't hold that against her.
Right.
That's what you do at a political convention, right? You make completely partisan speeches. But it was disingenuous. It was dishonest. It basically was a bashed Trump party last night, which I suppose is what you expect. But as far as putting the kids in cages, she needs to go home and talk to her husband, because he's the one who put the law in place that caused that to happen.
Well, and let me just say this too. When I say it was a very effective speech, I thought it was well delivered.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she came across as empathetic. I was watching some of the Fox people talk about their impressions of the speech. One of them said, I think it was Juan Williams. He said, I felt like I was a son listening to my mother speak. So in terms of the voice of it, I think it was very effective. In terms of the actual content, I hardly heard anyone talking about what she said. It was all about how she said it.
Yeah.
Now, understandably, that is increasingly common in our soundbite world and social media world. But in terms of what she said, just like you just pointed out, Fred, there were holes in it big enough to drive an 18-wheeler through.
Yeah, this may shock you, but President Trump responded to Michelle Obama's speech.
No way.
Let me give you the direct quote from the president this morning. Somebody please explain to Michelle Obama that Donald J. Trump would not be here in the beautiful White House if it weren't for the job done by your husband, Barack Obama.
that's partially true. The rest of the story would be how bad a candidate Hillary Clinton was.
Right.
So yes. I think they'd both have to share a little bit of the guilt for putting President Trump in. Listen, folks, we are going to come back to this issue of the Democratic National Convention Committee, the Democratic Party's convention last night, opening night. We're going to come back in just a little bit to talk more about it, because I have to talk about John Kasich, and we got to talk about Bernie Sanders, because his speech was one lie after another. But we're gonna postpone that riveting conversation and discussion to bring in a kind of a mellow person, Dr. Frank Turek, host of Cross Examined. That's heard Saturdays on American Family Radio at 9 a.m. Central Time and Sundays at 4 p.m. Central Time. Folks, we just want to kind of ratchet down the intensity now by having Frank Turek on. He's kind of like those, remember those overnight DJs on the easy listening or jazz stations that kind of just put you to sleep with calmness. Dr. Turek, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello, gentlemen.
All right, Frank, I know that's not you. You're high intensity. You're so high intensity, you could be Italian.
I am.
I mean that as a compliment.
I'm half Italian.
Are you really?
As a matter of fact. Oh, yeah.
Come on. So your mom's Italian?
My mom's all Italian. Forget about it.
I knew I liked you. I knew I liked you for a reason.
Oh, no.
All right. Frank, what is it you want to talk about today?
Well, I got a question from a listener, and I want to run this question by you guys, get your thoughts on it, and then I'll mention what I think about it. Here's what this gentleman wrote me. He said, Dr. Turek, I only recently became firm in my support for President Trump. I'm a Christ follower, and I shared a post on Facebook, which was an article by Dr. Wayne Grudem answering an anti-Trump Christian friend. All of a sudden, I'm scared that I've ruined my witness for Christ. I don't know if this is an appropriate place to be addressing this concern, but my witness for Christ is first and foremost in my life. But I also care about the state of our nation and our freedoms in the coming election. Is it wrong to be worried about hurting my witness while standing for the truth politically, Ed?
Okay. Oh, good. So I get to go first.
You go first, Ed.
Okay. Listen, obviously our witness for Christ is paramount. So whoever wrote this is speaking the truth. This is the way every Christian should feel, is that Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven, supersedes in importance the United States of America or whatever country a Christian finds himself or herself living in. So that part is absolutely true. Now, applying the Christian faith to everyday life gets a little tricky because the Bible does not address, for example, how Christians are to behave in a democracy or a republic. It does not specifically address, for example, how we should treat television, because those things, television wasn't invented, social media wasn't invented. So you kind of have to take Christian principles, biblical principles, and apply them the best way you can to our daily life. And I think it is absolutely imperative that if Christians live in a country in like ours, in which we the people form the government, in a sense, we the people decide what sort of government will be governing us, it is absolutely critical that Christians be involved. And in terms of Donald Trump, this is the way I've always looked at it. We've covered this issue numbers of times. Tim has always said, I agree with him. I did not vote for Donald Trump in the primaries, personally. I voted for Ted Cruz. But then when the choice was laid before us of a secular, secular quote-unquote progressive direction for our country based on Darwinian evolution, pro-abortion, all those things, that choice between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, it was a no-brainer. I could not allow by inaction a person like Hillary Clinton to take the reins of power and direct our country into spiritual and moral oblivion. And Donald Trump promised the opposite, and he has delivered. So that's my little speech. Fred, then Ray, and then Frank, you tell us where we've all gone wrong.
Well, listen, we live in a fallen world. So if you're looking for the perfect behaving politician, it's just not going to happen. When it came to Donald Trump, we all know his history. But since announcing that he wanted to run for president, that day he came down the escalator, it was 2015, and that day forward, you had to look at what he was promising to do for the people, what his vision of the country was. He is a businessman. He believes in capitalism. He right up front talked about he believed life in the womb and that he was going to stand against abortion and pro-life, his views on Israel, all of those sorts of things, things that you certainly can defend from Scripture,
right?
Especially when it comes from the pro-life view for Israel and all of those things. And here's the good thing. At this point, if you're the question comes from somebody, how are you going to vote this election? You can look back over the last 4 years, and everything that he promised he would do, he has attempted to bring that about. Right. He has not been one of those politicians who said, yeah, but I said that, but I've changed my mind
right
on that. So for all of those reasons, he's consistent. He has stood strong for the unborn, stood strong for Israel, and has stood strong for a strong America. And so I don't think that's anything that you would have to apologize for.
Right. Ray?
Hey, Ray, this sort of seems like this gentleman who's asking the question, he's concerned about his witness to
right.
others who I guess are not Christian. So how would you handle that from a pastoral perspective?
Well, I'd say two things, Frank. Number one, I'd say to that young man, remember, we're 77 days away. And we aren't even to the crazy part yet. The crazy part is still ahead of us, guys, right? It's, you know, as we get down to 40 days and 30 days. And I would say to that young man and to anybody, what our friend Michael Brown, who we've had on the radio many, many times, Michael Brown's been reminding us, remember, Mr. Trump is our president. He's not our savior. Okay, so keep that distinction in mind. Things are going to be crazy for 77 days. And then whenever we finally know who wins, as Christians, we got to live with whatever that result is, Mr. Trump or Mr. Biden or whatever, whatever the eventual result is. So I would say, go ahead and post that article by Grudem, because I read it myself and I thought Dr. Grudem did a very fine job of explaining things from a Christian point of view. And just keep in mind, he's the president and you're going to vote for him. If you're a Trump supporter, he's not your savior. If you can keep those two things clear, I think your witness will be just fine.
And
all
I think
right,
when you, I was going to say, when you get to these issues, it's more complicated than a soundbite. And
right.
people
right.
want everything in a soundbite. Well, not everything can be put in a soundbite. This is a conversation. So if somebody comes to you and says, gee, how can you as a Christian could support a guy like Donald Trump? Well, you have to have a conversation with that person.
Yeah.
You have to say, well, who should I support? Who are my choices here? right?
Right.
At this point, what choices do you have? You've pretty much only have two in this country. So what are you going to do? And I had a program back in December of 2019. We devoted an entire hour to the question, why did evangelicals vote for Trump? And a couple of the reasons that I put forward were there was no other good alternative, obviously. And I think, Fred, you had just mentioned, you're not going to find a perfect candidate anywhere. Secondly, I think there's a difference between voting for a candidate and agreeing with everything a candidate says or does. Mm. Quite obviously, if you could only vote for somebody that you agree 100% on everything, you couldn't vote for anybody, correct?
Right.
And I really
right.
think that we have to point out where, if we're going to say that, okay, I'm going to vote for Trump, you still have to point out where you think he's gone wrong. You still have to point out some of the things that he says or does you might not agree with. You have to be fair to people and say, look, I don't agree with him on that. But overall, what am I going to vote on? And I think one of the key reasons that people voted for Trump who are evangelicals is that policy trumps demeanor.
Mm-hmm.
Policy trumps demeanor. And I've said this many times. I said, I give Trump an A- on policy and a D on demeanor. Hillary Clinton or even Joe Biden, I might give Joe Biden a better demeanor grade, but
right.
demeanor is not the main reason I'm voting for somebody to be president. I wish Trump's demeanor was better, but that doesn't mean that demeanor trumps policy. Illustration, suppose you had to have a complicated surgery. Would you rather have a doctor who had a good bedside manner and was a great surgeon, or would you rather have a doctor who had a, that would be the primary. That would be the person you'd really want, a great
right.
bedside manner and a great surgeon. Or would you take a great bedside manner bad surgeon or a bad bedside manner great surgeon? Of course, I'd rather have the first one. But if you couldn't have the first one, I'm going to go for bad bedside manner great surgeon. Right. I don't care how his demeanor is if he can do the operation well. I wish he had good demeanor, but if he doesn't, I'll overlook that, and I'll take the fact that he can do the surgery well. It seems to me in this situation, you don't have option A where you've got great bedside manner, great surgeon. You've got great bedside manner, bad surgeon, or bad bedside manner, great surgeon. In that case, I'm going bad bedside manner, great surgeon. And I think that's really where we are now. Now, let me say something about his bad bedside manner. In some cases, his bad bedside manner is a good thing in the sense that he will fight, even though I don't always like the way he fights. He will come out and fight and not leave anything unsaid that needs to be said. I haven't seen that in a politician in my lifetime. You know, a lot of times in the George W. Bush era, he would just ignore all the attacks. Right. Trump doesn't ignore attacks. He jumps out and he says things that need to be said. Sometimes he says them inartfully. Sometimes he says them rudely. But he still says things that need to be said. So I think if people are harping on you because they think you have a bad witness, I think you need to have a conversation with these people and say, okay, well, who should I support? I should support the Democratic platform? Are you serious? Look at this platform. It's awful. I'm going to have to go with the least worst choice. And in this case, that appears to be Trump.
Well, and I like your ideas about having conversations with people, because reality is not soundbite reality. So you have to discuss these things. I also like I love your bedside manner, great surgeon metaphor. Although I got lost somewhere in there, I was wondering which choice you were leaving us with. I was thoroughly confused by all those options. Too many choices. I just want pepperoni on the pizza. I don't want all that other stuff on it. So, and here's the other thing too, in terms of having to agree 100% with someone. I wouldn't even gotten married if I had to agree with my wife on everything. Let me tell you something. She's been wrong a lot over our marriage, and that was not
send
why
your
I
comments
married.
To Ed Vitagliano.
Yes. I happen and to if, know if. Happen to know if, my wife's if, not listening right now. So.
If we discover that you're dead, the cause will be COVID. Yeah. Yes. Even though you had a knife in your back.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Frank. Hey, listen, that is some excellent advice and counsel concerning this, because as Ray pointed out, we haven't even got to the crazy part yet. This question's going to come up a lot,
yes,
with Christians, mm-hmm, evangelicals between now and the election. And this is good counsel from Dr. Frank Turek and also Fred and Ray. Me, probably not so much. I probably shouldn't have said that last part. All right, Frank, what have you got coming up? Do you know? I know it's only Tuesday. Uh-oh, my wife just texted me. She said she's watching. Okay, guys.
You cook your own pizza.
That's right. You're not even getting pepperoni. You're not even eating.
You're getting anchovies.
I'm getting anchovies. All right, so Frank, what do you got coming up this weekend, do you know?
Well, this weekend we're probably going to be talking a little bit about this issue. There are some evangelicals out there who are saying that they ought to vote Biden, and I'm going to talk about having a longer conversation about this. Really, vote Biden. Why? Tell me.
All right. This will be great this weekend. Folks, make sure you listen. Cross-Examine Heard on AFR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. Central Time, Sundays at 4 p.m. Central Time. It's one of our most popular programs, by the way. Hey, Frank, thanks a bunch for joining us. All right, Frank's gone. He's going to get a pizza. All right, folks, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll be talking about the convention, Democratic convention last night, some other stuff that is going on. You're listening to American Family Radio. Today's issues, please join us. We'll be gone for just a couple minutes and be right back.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
This notion called critical theory, where the express purpose was to find a way to persuade people that they are oppressed. And the goal of it is not to find a solution. The goal is to overthrow the Western civilization as we know it.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, my dad was a Methodist pastor, and he also led tours to Israel. He did that twice a year, and he started doing that in 1968. So all during the 80s and the 90s, I learned from him. And so now today, I'm passing the torch on to my sons, Wesley and Walker, as they help me lead folks to Israel each March. We're doing so in March of 2021. We'd love for you to come along with us if you've always wanted to see Israel. Maybe our trip is for you. Check out all the information at twholyland.com. twholyland.com. It's going to be a great time seeing the land of the Bible with fellow Christians in March of 2021. TWHolyLand.com is the website.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. I've got a crazy story to share with you from Tennessee, where the Department of Education thought it would be a good idea to implement home well-being checks on every child in the state. Wellness liaisons would be dispatched to every home from Memphis to Knoxville, and they would interview the children without mom and dad in the room. Even more bizarre, the policy would mandate wellness checks from birth to 18 years old, all paid for by $1 million in federal tax money. The Tennessee Eagle Forum immediately condemned the measure, as did many Republican lawmakers. They called it an invasion of privacy, a power grab. But I do have some good news to report. Parents were so enraged, the Department of Education rescinded the wellness checks, proving once again what can happen when freedom-loving patriots take a stand. Be sure to listen to my national radio show live, noon to 3 Eastern, or download my free podcast at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
You can welcome back, folks. This is Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. Fred Jackson sitting in for me. Chris Woodward sitting in for Fred. Chris, I forgot all about you off Dr. Turek.
Oh, no, it's
was,
fine.
Was on, so sorry about that. If you want to watch this program, by the way, on you can go to either Facebook or YouTube, search for Today's Issues, click through, and you'll be able to watch us on our Facebook page. We do have a group of regulars that interact. They can communicate there on Facebook. And yes, Kevin, who was one of our Facebook viewers, yes, I am in the doghouse for my comments during the last segment. And so, and also, Brent Creeley, our producer, will post stories on our Facebook page so folks can go a little bit deeper and dig in. Also, joining us from Kansas City is Ray Pritchard. Ray, I always forget, Kansas City, Kansas or Kansas City, Missouri?
Kansas City, Kansas.
Kansas. All right. I need to tattoo it on my hand or something. So, all right, Chris, we did ignore you during the last segment with Dr. Frank Turek, but now you're back. So Let's go back to the you have anything else, any sound or anything from the DNC convention?
Yeah, judging by the way you left off that particular segment where we were talking about the convention and the speeches, you were itching to hear some John Kasich.
Oh, yeah.
Former Ohio Governor John Kasich, a Republican, was among the speakers at last night's Democratic National Convention. Clip three.
The stakes in this election are greater than any in modern times. Many of us have been deeply concerned about the current path we've been following for the past 4 years.
So there you have it. He is not, that's just a snippet of what he said. He is no fan of Donald Trump. He thinks he has done a terrible job on everything from the coronavirus response to the economy, taxes, immigration. He's long been at odds with Donald Trump. They ran against each other in 2016. But John Kasich getting a lot of criticism from folks even in his own state of Ohio. One Ohioan was on Fox and Friends today. That would be Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio. Clip four.
No, I mean, look, John Kasich's been a sore loser ever since he lost in 16. I remember there was a point in that race where he was in fourth in a three-way race. So I don't think he's ever got over the fact. In fact, he didn't even show up at the convention in our state, in Cleveland, Ohio. Instead, did some party across the street at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I think. Wouldn't even go to the convention. So he's been a sore loser ever since he lost. He is right about one thing. We are at a crossroads, but the solution is not to try to work with these Democrats. The same Democrats who this week said we need more unrest in the streets, the same Democrats who've allowed what happened in Portland, Seattle, Chicago, our major cities, the same Democrats who you know, say it's okay to protest, riot, and loot, but oh, by the way, you can't go to church, you can't go to work, you can't go to school, you can't have college football. So I don't think that's the direction we want to go, and I think the American people understand it.
We have a lot more to do, but let's pause for a moment there to get your guys' thoughts on that.
All right. Well, listen, and then I'll pitch it to Fred and Ray. I as I mentioned, I watched the John Kasich speech. Most of these speeches were very short.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle Obama, former First Lady, hers was almost 20 minutes. That was the longest. But Bernie Sanders was about 8 minutes. And John Kasich, let me just say this first of all. Let me just personally insult him. Okay, because John Kasich is kind of dorky, okay? Lovable dorky, okay, is what I'm saying. He tells dad jokes, okay, those kind of things, which I'm totally sympathetic with dad jokes, okay? But his shot, his speech opened up with him standing at the juncture of a literal crossroads, okay? A fork in the road, which I thought was pretty dorky, but that's kind of the way he is. But, again, in terms of content, you have John Kasich vouching for Joe Biden, saying, I know the measure of this man. He is not going to turn to the far left. He's not going to take this country to the radical left. And yet you have Bernie Sanders in his speech saying, the ideas that we had just several years ago that were considered radical are now mainstream in the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. So in terms of content, Fred, both of those gentlemen can't be right.
No.
I think Bernie Sanders is correct. John Kasich is dead wrong when it comes to where Joe Biden will take this country.
You know, I am thinking about Kasich. I actually feel a little bit sorry for him. Because only a man that is extremely bitter in his heart, he's living with a bitterness because of the defeat back in 2016.
And in his defense, again, Donald Trump can be pretty contentious.
Yes.
And insulting. The kind of way he made his, built his campaign with insulting people. So I can understand people being upset with him. So
yeah, but to go to the point of saying, I'm going to work against my own party, going to work against a Republican president, and I'm actually going to allow myself to be used by the left-wing Democrats to help a Democrat get elected. And that's the other reason I feel sorry for him, because I'm not sure if he understands he is being used.
Right.
You know, if he thinks for a moment he's going to get a high, if the Democrats end up being in charge, that he's going to get some kind of high-ranking position in that. AOC yesterday went after him.
Yeah. Went after Biden?
Went after Kasich.
Called him an extremist on abortion.
Yeah. AOC publicly attacked Kasich yesterday, and yet you have him at part of the Democratic
That's
convention.
Stronger together, if in my book, you know.
All right, Ray, what's your
take
on this?
John Kasich is a nice man, they say, right? The people know him. And for years, Eddie had this reputation as kind of a centrist conservative Republican, a pragmatic conservative, something like that, because he is pro-life, right? And he gets the right side on that issue. So what's he done? He has humiliated himself, whether he knows it or not. And I think the party Republicans might as well just throw him out, because when you go, you know, you're a Republican governor, and then you go to the convention for the other team, so to speak, and you say something foolish like Biden is a moderate, he's not going to, or whatever, he's not going to take the party. The party has already gone off the cliff on the left. It really doesn't matter. Joe, God bless him, if he does get elected, he's not going to be the one calling the shots anyway. They're going to go left, left, left as far as they can. So that was just an embarrassment to see a man do that to himself and to his own career.
You know, guys, I think one piece of evidence that disproves Kasich's thinking that Biden is going to be a moderate and we don't have to worry about it, in 2016, during one of the first debates when there was like 11 billion people seeking the Republican Party's presidential nomination, the issue of whether people like Jack Phillips have to design a cake for same-sex couples if they have traditional marriage beliefs and don't support same-sex marriage, that was one of the questions, and I think understandably so, for the candidates early on in their debates. Kasich went on to say that you should bake the cake and then go in the back and pray for him if you feel so, you know, led to do that kind of thing. That is what lost a lot of people. And Joe Biden is not in favor of a person like Jack Phillips having that option of saying, no, I believe in traditional marriage. I'm not going to do that. You can have one of these things on the shelf, but I'm not going to design a cake for you. The reason I say that is because Joe Biden is a supporter of the Equality Act. One of those things involves these so-called rules that you hear about in various cities or maybe even states, where if you do it for this person or that couple, you've got to do it for all people and all couples. Joe Biden is not a moderate on those issues, so therefore I don't know where he's talking about. And as far as the life issue goes, Joe Biden supported the Hyde Amendment for decades, but now he moved to the left on that issue to try to reach some of the younger hipster liberals that were siding with people like Kamala Harris or Pete Buttigieg or Bernie Sanders early on this year. He is not a moderate on virtually anything that comes immediately to mind.
Well, and as Fred mentioned, he's not a moderate when it comes to climate change and the new Green Deal. He's not a moderate when it comes to that plan's determination to get rid of all fossil fuels within, I think, 15 years, against fracking, all those kind of things. So, listen, this is a very stark choice on November 3rd, which makes this election scary. Except, you know, Christians, of course, put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and God's purposes for our nation and the world. But in terms of the starkness of this choice, it is scary. The fact that, you know, like John Kasich said, this is a fork in the road. But one of these roads leads to absolute chaos, like Venezuela-style chaos, and the other one leads at least in the general direction of our founding principles. I'm not totally happy with Republicans either in the way they treat those constitutional principles, but it's far better than the far-left secular, quote-unquote, progressives. All right, I think we probably have beat up on the Democrats enough. They have another night tonight. Any idea, Chris, who's speaking tonight?
Yes. Well, that brings me to this point. In USA Today's coverage of it, this was their headline. Stacey Abrams among quote-unquote rising stars to speak at DNC. That sounds fair and non-editorial-ish. That's actually in their Things You Need to Know Today. Stacey Abrams among rising stars to speak at DNC.
And she ran for governor of Georgia.
She did.
In 2018,
she did.
Right?
She's been one of the more talked about people. She was on Biden's short list, supposed short list of running mate choices, but also expected to take the stage tonight, albeit virtually. Former President Bill Clinton, Mr. Biden's wife Jill Biden, or Dr. Jill Biden, and then Representative AOC herself going to speak somehow, some way.
She's got like 60 seconds, though, right?
Yes. Whether or not she's going to endorse her idea for a pen pal program to save the U.S. Postal Service, we shall see.
Yeah, that was kind of ridiculous. I watched her kind of running that up the flagpole to see who salutes.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't want to get into that.
Okay.
That was kind of ridiculous.
You talk about juvenile?
Yes.
Should we explain just a little?
Okay,
bit?
Go ahead. We're kind of ankle deep now.
In order to save the post office, people need to adopt the idea of sending letters to folks. Get pen pals.
So we buy stamps.
Progressive pen pals.
Yes. So we buy stamps. All right. You know, when Chris and I were talking about this yesterday, it's kind of like when you're in elementary school and you exchange Valentine's cards.
Yes.
You know, you send them around. Your mom sends you to school with a bunch of envelopes with Valentine's in it. I mean, that's where she was going with this idea. Save the post office by getting left-wing pen pals.
Well, first of all, I didn't like Valentine's Day because I never got any. Yeah, you remember the torture of having that little whatever, that little bag or something on your desk, and people walking around and dropping them in. I'd be going, "Oh, here she comes!" She walked right by me. I'm sitting right here.
Then you get the one that she meant to give somebody else. Yeah.
Oh, so thanks for that. That look back into past.
When I was in kindergarten, I had Alf Valentines. They were out of this world.
Oh, man, that's terrible. All right, let me just say.
I'll be here all week, folks.
Ray, let me just ask you this. I don't know if you had heard about AOC's plan to save the post office, but let me just say this. That is a typical leftist approach to a problem, okay? We're going to have make work to try to save a government entity that is struggling, rather than President Trump's approach, which is to put a businessman in charge of the U.S. Post Office. So how well do you think that would work in the age of social media? And let's just forget about email, which is kind of going the way of the dinosaur, at least it will eventually. Mm-hmm. But in the age of text messaging, how many people you think are going to write letters to pen pals so they can buy extra
at 55
stamps?
55 cents a pop.
And let me ask you this. Do we really want tens of thousands more letters going through the post office when they can't deliver the ones they've got? Ray, I'm pitching this to you. So
well, look, the post office has its problems, right? And so, is the solution going to be let's get left wing pen pals and let's write them little love notes or whatever, right? And have them write back to us? No, that's, you talk about an idea that's dead on arrival. That's it. Yeah. And that's here today. It's already gone.
I think something that's going to happen is you'll see a Charlie Kirk type sign up for a progressive pen pal program and then send some unfortunate liberal a ton of like MAGA stuff.
Well, let me ask you this. One last thing, and then we'll go on to a serious issue because that was not a serious solution. But can kids write anymore? I mean, in terms of cursive,
do they
teach that anymore?
Yeah, my kids, in their particular school, they start teaching cursive as early as pre-K or 4K, or K-4 as we call it. So there are still some kids. And then a lot of the public schools, at least in our neck of the woods here in Northeast Mississippi, do to some extent teach cursive. But okay, I don't know about national.
Because I'm not even sure that a lot of kids growing up can even address an envelope. I'm being serious. I'm not trying to be insulting. Those are just skills that they don't.
You do see headlines and news stories to that effect, yeah. A lot of that stuff is going away.
You know, do they teach kids how to read the face of a clock that's not a digital? So anyway, those are skills, I guess, that I who knows 50 years from now whether those will be necessary, but. Anyway, writing letters, that's a great idea for
to whom it may concern.
All right, Chris.
Well, you brought up pizza a minute ago.
So,
a lot of people are kind of starting to think of what they're going to be eating for lunch. I bring this up because it's a number of things. Yesterday, it was announced that some 300 Pizza Hut locations, mostly dine-in locations, were going to be closing after various bankruptcies from people that own them. They were going to make sure they were going to keep the ones where people go to and pick up their pizzas because there has been a just redonkulous uptick in the amount of pizza orders while everybody's been sheltering in place or trying to avoid people because of the Rona. When's the last time you guys ordered out a pizza?
Last Friday.
Okay. Listen, my wife's kind of got me on a diet, so it's been a long time since I've had pizza. I'll just say this. I generally like Pizza Hut's thin crust. My understanding is there's actually a pepperoni shortage, although I just get cheese pizzas mostly. We put stuff on it ourselves when we get it to the house. It would be a sad day if pizza places started closing, but there's a lot of businesses, not just pizza, Ray, that have had a horrible time trying to stay in business.
Well, number one, how long has it been since we've ordered pizza in this house? It's been too long. I need to think about that. And number two, so did you say, Chris, that we've got pizza places going out of business, even though they've been swamped with orders in the last few months?
A lot of the places that are more like dine-in establishment versus carryouts. Domino's, for example, last month, just Domino's reported a 30% spike in quarterly profits, so much so that Domino's is apparently hiring about 20,000-plus people to handle surging orders. So if you're looking for a job right now, Domino's may be interested in bringing you on board.
At least that's one job that isn't going to go to China. Is pizza deliveries. Listen, this is a serious issue. When we're talking about pepperoni shortages and pizza places.
Dr. Pepper shortage. I mean, this breaking news.
I heard that.
No, what is that? I did hear that.
Yeah, what's that about?
Is that because they can't keep their workers going 24/7 because they got to be socially distanced, or what's the deal with that?
I'm not fully up to speed. There have been various headlines from all kinds of news outlets about a Dr. Pepper shortage. They are based out of Texas, which has had a really bad bout with COVID-19 cases and things like that. So it could be impacted there.
Track that down, Chris. Find out the reason behind it. I'm not a diet Dr. Pepper drinker. My lovely wife, though, who I just adore, she does like Diet Dr. Pepper.
Too late.
I did see some guy joke on social media this week going, "This is serious, folks. I can't drink Dr. Thunder."
Diet Dr. Thunder. All right, let's go. We're running out of time here for this first hour, Chris. Let's get some more serious news. What else you got?
Okay, hang on. Just a moment. You seriously want serious news?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
We still got eight minutes.
Well,
we can't talk the rest to the top of the hour talking about pizza shortages and shortages of Diet Dr. Pepper. We've got to give the folks hard news here,
Chris.
That's
right. Well, you brought up China a minute ago when we were having a bit of back and forth over pepperoni pizza. The U.S., according to CNN, the U.S. has finalized a sale of 66 new American-made F-16 fighter jets to Taiwan, marking the largest arms sales to the self-governing island in years. As you can imagine, China is not happy about this, so we could see more tit for tat between the U.S. and China in terms of, I'm going to do this and you're going to tax that and all that stuff. You know, the president has said China's not going to get away with human rights abuses and things of that nature. It seems to be he's backing it up, because one would think the Trump administration would have the final say on the U.S. finalizing a sale of dozens of new American-made fighter jets going to a place like Taiwan, which has been at odds with China for a long time.
Listen, this is the difference between President Trump and anybody who's running for the Democrats. President Trump is in a fight with China.
Yes.
And despite the fact that it's an election year and he's been criticized, President Trump, he's upset with China. He blames them for the COVID virus, calls it the Wuhan virus.
Right.
I think there was a Democrat last night that referred to it as the European virus.
That was Cuomo.
Governor Cuomo. Referred to it as the European virus.
Man.
All right. Not President Trump. As we have said before, sometimes the way he says things, all those sorts of things. But he is a fighter, and he's at least consistent in how he carries it out. So there's Taiwan. I noticed our Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, was there just a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And so now we have this deal in the making to send these F-16s to Taiwan. And he's going to do it. He will do it. He's not backing away. During the Barack Obama administration, China was treated with kid gloves.
Yes.
When you stop and think of the incredible change that has come into being since Donald Trump came into office, between China controlling the trade between the two countries.
Right.
The imbalance was absolutely incredible.
Right.
The trade imbalance with, in other words, we were buying a whole pile of China-made stuff. They were buying very little from us.
Right.
So what does President Trump do? He says, no, we're going to change things a little bit. You guys, if you want to keep trading with us, you're going to buy a whole lot of American wheat. You're going to, that's what you're going to have to do, folks, in order to bring about that balance. We have a hard-nosed businessman president right now, and he's going to do what he says he's going to do.
You know, Ray, this president has made sure that we send on a regular basis a couple of carrier groups through the South China Sea, which China claims is theirs, even though nations who are bordering the South China Sea say, hey, not so fast. He does support Taiwan. And so let me just ask you this. If you could get into the heads of the Chinese, I don't know if they call it the Politburo, that used to be the Russian way of referring to the communist leadership, who do you think they would prefer to have in the White House, President Trump or President Biden?
Oh, there's no question they want Biden, because it's exactly what Fred said. In the Obama days, China was getting the, quote, kid glove treatment. Trump has taken those kid gloves off, and he has played hardball with China. Now, it's been difficult. It's been difficult because they are a huge trading partner, right? And so much of our economy is linked up with them. But I think about Mr. Trump, that in the beginning, he tried to reach out to the president of China and, you know, met with him and tried to be friends, discovered that's not going to work. The only language they really understand is tough talk backed up by tough actions. And the president has been on the side of the Hong Kong protesters. He's been on the side of religious liberty in China. Could he do more? Well, you can always do more, but he's done what he could. He's been on the side of Taiwan. There's no question in Beijing, they are pulling out the stops to get Joe Biden in the White House, because the tough talk is going to end if Biden is elected.
I think that's absolutely the truth of the matter. And communist Marxist ideology views capitalist nations, so that would be Western nations, as decadent. They view them as weak. This is the way the Soviet Union viewed the West, until you had people like Margaret Thatcher and Ronald Reagan. And so I have little to no doubt at all that the Chinese communists view the West as decadent as well. But now they've got someone who punches back in Donald Trump. That's some of the things we talked about with Frank Turek in terms of demeanor. They know they're tangling with a fighter. And they know that Donald Trump does not care, because he's not a politician, because his quote-unquote bedside manner is not always the best. That's the way you get with most politicians. They know that what Donald Trump says is what he actually believes and what he'll actually do, and the communists don't like that. So I think they absolutely are rooting for Joe Biden.
China is not our friend.
They're not. And that's they're a great point. Go ahead.
Yeah,
Fred.
They are not our friend. They are now in bed with the Iranians.
Right. Is that?
No question about it. There are military alliances right now between China and Iran. Iran is trying to help Venezuela. So when you talk about our enemies, you've got to consider China as one of our enemies. They are the enemy of democracy.
Yes.
They are the enemy of freedom. And successive, not just the Obama administration, the George Bush administration.
Yes.
Let's go way back. Go back to Senior Bush.
The Clinton administration.
Clinton administration. President Trump is the first president in modern history, let's put it this way, that has been willing to take on the Chinese and call them out for what they are. They are our enemy.
And let me just tell you something. Do not ever underestimate true Marxists.
Yes.
They absolutely believe Marxist doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
And they absolutely will foment revolution and rebellions wherever they can to try to overthrow constitutional republics like ours. Mm-hmm. They released a document last year saying that democracy is the enemy of the revolution.
Mm-hmm.
So, folks, I fully support President Trump's approach to the Chi-Coms. Mm-hmm. As someone around here. Oh, no, that's Ray Pritchard's calling him the Chi-Coms. All right, Chris, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we'll be back after a five-minute break with Steve Jordahl for more of today's issues. You're listening to the American Family Radio Network. Again, back in five.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.